Thank you, Providence. Another one of my favorites. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto thee, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our salvation. Amen. Once again, parable in St. Luke tells us right off the bat what this parable is all about. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to second guess. Jesus comes right out and he says it. And this is what he says. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told them this parable. This parable is a judgment parable. It's law. Law is meant to afflict the comfortable. If you're sitting here comfortable thinking that God is so lucky to have you on his side, and that the kingdom of God would simply fall apart, the bottom would drop out, if you were to somehow remove yourself from it, the law needs to afflict you for that. I've known people that don't want to sing Amazing Grace because it says that saved a wretch like me. They are not a wretch, and I will not say I am a wretch. I don't want to say the confession, a poor, miserable sinner. You don't know me. Yeah, God doesn't. He says exactly that. You are a sinner. What does the gospel do? The gospel comforts the afflicted. So when we feel afflicted by our sin, God doesn't just leave us there hanging out, falling into morbid reflection. God sends his Holy Spirit with the balm of forgiveness, the balm of the gospel, that Jesus Christ took your sin upon himself that he might give you his righteousness. That's comforting the afflicted. Which one are you today? Are you the comfortable or are you the afflicted? Well, if you're the comfortable, let's get on with this. Let's cause a little affliction. Because I got to tell you, when I was putting this sermon together, I got very much afflicted. So this parable resonates today. We get it, right? We might not be on board with all of Jesus' teachings, like we should forgive our enemies, please. that we should be forgiving to all people, that there should be sexual purity, that God gives us this special way that we should use our money, that we should be serving other people and not ourselves. We might not always be on board with that, but on this parable, condemning the Pharisee for his judgment, we're right with Jesus, amen? Because nobody wants to be a Pharisee. Pharisees are the worst. Judgmental, arrogant, prideful. This parable is easy, but you see, that's the problem. It's the problem because there's always a twist to it, and we're going to find that out right here. In Jesus' day, Pharisees were the good guys. Pharisees were like the way we look at the tax collector today. We see the tax collector in this parable as the good guy. But that wasn't the way it was in Jesus' day. Tax collectors were scoundrels. They were Jews that were conscripted into the Roman government to by the way, the Roman government was occupying Israel. They didn't like it. They made them do things they didn't want to do. They had all these military garrisons in there, and somebody has to pay for it. So guess who does? The Jews. And guess who got the taxes? The Jewish tax collectors. So not only do they resent being occupied, they resent having to pay for them being occupied. And what the tax collectors did, and they picked them out of the Jewish race because they kind of knew the trade routes, they kind of knew who to tax and what to tax. They also said, this is how much we need. So a tax collector could charge above and beyond that, whatever he wanted to pay his own wages. So they were considered to be traitors. Pharisees, on the other side, they were like the Billy Grahams. They were seen as the holy ones, the ones that knew about God, who loved God. They tried to live a life of obedience and devotion to God's word and his purity and righteousness. So this is the twist. We judge the Pharisees without mercy because they are so judgmental. You see where that's going? When I see someone that's the holier-than-thou person, you know, someone that always has to point out a mistake that you make, somebody that always has to point out a sin, someone that always wants to let you know how much better they are than them, because they not only go to church on Sunday, they go to church on Wednesday. They do this on Saturday. They work for all these different places. Do you know what I'd say in my mind? I thank God I'm not like him. Pharisees are the worst. When we see someone holier than thou, we just talked about, and when I say I thank God that I'm not like them, bam, there you have it. Who am I? The tax collector or the Pharisee? I am the Pharisee. This parable is spoken to me. It doesn't say what a good tax collector I am. It's spoken to me and against me. To see ourselves as a tax collector, the ultimate good guys, we're really the Pharisee. When we Pharisees, especially when the Pharisees when we pharisaically judge the Pharisees for being pharisaical, are you with me on this? I could hardly do it myself. When we like Pharisees judge the Pharisees for being pharisaical, we ourselves are them. Jesus is talking to us. Jesus is talking to me. Now, I am the audience that Jesus is addressing. More than that, Jesus is accusing me. He's convicting me and humbling me. And humbled by my Lord's rebuke, I put my head down in shame and I just try to back out and find a side door to get out of here where no one might see me. I'm judged. I'm exposed. After all, no one likes a Pharisee. They're the worst. And I am them. Where does this leave me? Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. The only way to be the tax collector in this parable is to confess that I am the Pharisee. This parable puts me in my place. I judge the judgmental. I treat the Pharisees with contempt for treating others with contempt. So this parable does its work by turning things upside down, but this topsy-turvy nature of God's word is not done yet, for it is at this precise moment when God has convicted me, when God has afflicted me, when I hang my head in shame, that I'm right where God wants me to be, humble. He wants me to be able to experience his unmerited grace, his unmerited mercy. I am right where God wants me to be, ready to receive that undeserved mercy. And God does have mercy. The one who humbles himself before God did not go home judged. He went home justified. He went home righteous. He went home with a righteousness that was not his own. It came from without him. He went home with the righteousness that we receive through faith in Jesus Christ. The only way to be the tax collector in this parable is to know that you are the Pharisee. But when you feel judged as the Pharisee, you'll find mercy as the tax collector. For everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God does. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.